Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi from True Crime Today.
Featuring forensic evidence expert Scott Roder from Evidence Room.
Authorities in Oklahoma on that hunt for determining if BTK is in fact responsible for that 1976 murder. But it's not as simple as just the investigators going out and doing an investigation in Osage County. Sheriff Eddie Vierden has been heading that up now for quite some time. But there is some resistance going on, specifically from the DA, Mike Fisher. Both sides having very different opinions on exactly what the evidence that exists means, if there is much of anything. Joining us right now, Scott Roder from Evidence Room. Scott, this is your world, forensic evidence, and we don't really know exactly what we have yet. But they have certainly and literally been doing some digging on the property back in Park City, Kansas. All these years ago, we're talking about 47 years, if my math is right, it's in that area of when these murders took place. What can be found at this point that isn't already in some sort of evidence locker or at this point destroyed?
Well, I mean, there's always, if you're in a new location that has some, that has not been really dug out before, right? And even though all that time has passed, there will still be articles that could have important forensic relevance that could tie the manner and nature of a crime to an individual. What that could be is pure speculation, whether it could be a chip of a tooth or it could be hair. Or there could be literally a bloody glove. There's a whole host of things that can get overlooked in initial investigations. And if there's certainly, if this is a new location that they're digging in and they're finding things, I think these two should be in lockstep because they both have the same goal, theoretically, would be to solve the case. However, it seems to me that it's more of a political struggle and a personal dislike between these two parties, where I think one is maybe saying what you're doing is causing pain to the family, literally saying that the other tactic of his investigation, this interviewing of the relatives of other deceased family members, is causing pain and suffering on the survivors. That's literally what they're saying. And they're saying, no, we have, our process is relevant and we're uncovering facts. Who knows what the truth is, but you know, people look like they're chasing headlines on this. To me, I don't know how genuine it is. People are looking for the truth, or maybe people just setting up book deals, but I'm just looking at this for the first time now.
There's a lot of people involved in what Eddie Vierden has set up as the National BTK Task Force. Lots of very good people, many people that you and I both know that are on this. So I don't really question anybody's goodness who has raised a hand up and said, hey, I'll help if I can. But yeah, there is a lot of bizarre optics on this from the reality TV crew that Sheriff Eddie Vierden had wanted to start following them around all the way to. And I've wanted to get your opinion on this for quite some time, right when a lot of this sparked back up a few months ago. Eddie was on Ashley Banfield's program on News Nation, and he had some of the pantyhose that he claimed to have found on the Park City property from all the way back. God knows how long they'd been there, but they had recently been unearthed, and he was literally playing with them on TV with rubber gloves. I cringed. I think everybody who deals or knows about evidence cringes.
That's gross, man. You can't do that. One, if it's actual evidence, to just grandstand like that and do that on TV just for pure ego saturation. Okay, listen, I've done some famous cases, and I get called all the time by CNN or Fox Nation or this guy doing a documentary or this guy doing a TV show. Not, you know, listen, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but you got to be careful because these people, and when I say these people, I mean like entertainment people, can kind of co-opt and really play to your ego. Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful not to just do it for ego purposes, but do these things if they're relevant at all. Sometimes the best work for volunteer contribution to crime solving is in private. Mm-hmm. Right? I had a case here locally in Cleveland where, you know, I was trying to volunteer my services for an unsolved murder of two people. And I thought I was providing a good service. However, I was contacted by the law enforcement. They said, hey, we think you're not helping us. Mm. And I backed off and I shut it down. You got to do things like that. If you're not helping out, you're just calling attention to yourself for no reason. You're not helping out the cause. So I'm just saying there's a real world. These are real people have egos. Listen, we all have egos. We're all trying to do different things and be the best that we can be. But sometimes you just got to go, why am I doing this project? Is this good for everybody or is it only good for me? And I think you just got to look at that sometimes.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, sometimes you head out on a mission of goodness. And sometimes I think people get wrapped up in the attention that sometimes these things get. And then you can lose focus. I don't know. I can't speak to say that's exactly what's going on. But yeah, there's been a lot of bizarre optics here. And if you are the family of a victim and you have the two forces that have the authority really to investigate and to do much on this, both at odds, that's got to be almost just kind of putting vinegar on old wounds.
Right. And these aren't private individuals, right? Mm-hmm. These are people representing the public trust. And if they're at odds with each other, it's just weird. And it, to me, it's just one side is certainly calling, saying the sheriff is telling the prosecutor or vice versa, you don't have the good intentions here. Mm-hmm. And that's disturbing, regardless who's at fault.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Scott Roeder, our guest today. Scott, tell them more about what you do.
Here at the Evidence Room, we employ a team of engineers, medical illustrators, 3D modelers, and animators under my direction to reconstruct cases of personal injury, medical malpractice, police officer-involved shooting cases, both defending and on the plaintiff side, and in criminal court, as probably what I'm most well-known for in my personal testimony. But we have a full company that serves internationally on issues of demonstrative evidence and forensic animation. And we get hired by lawyers, by cities, by insurance companies, and by private citizens to augment investigations through their legal teams. We can be found at the web on evidence-room.net, and we service everywhere. And if you need us and we can help, we'll do the best we can for you.